Right. I want to remind you that on Friday is the coffee morning from 11 till 1. It's the one that's being organised by Bruce there, with the support of the pub here. And it's for Macmillan Nursing Cancer. One of the things that Bruce is doing is he's having everything shaved off. But if you can pop in on Friday and support that coffee morning, we would be extremely grateful. Bruce does a lot of work here, and he's going to have a busy week this week with that on as well. So if we can support it, we can come and we can go, but at least we will be supporting it. So that's it, and it's good that the pub itself is helping and supporting us. The other thing which Rachel has shared with me, an earnest appeal for prayer for Robert and for Jilly. You probably know they're in Canada, but they have COVID, and Robert particularly is very unwell. So please would you pray for Robert and Jilly, and we will of course do that in our service this morning as well, but we need constant prayer for them, regular prayer. Now I'm going to hand over to Richard, and we can start our service of worship.
From sin, there together purified.
Let us come to the Lord in believing prayer. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for the wonder of your creation. It's a wonderful world that you have created. We thank you, Lord, for each and every part of that creation. And as we remember at this time, the harvest festival that we celebrate here today, we thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that have been brought. And we thank you for all the food banks that there are in the Torbay area. And we pray, Lord, for the church known as the Riviera Life Church. They run a food bank, and that's where our gifts will be going. And we pray for that church and for those involved in the food bank. And we pray that the gifts that they receive will be given to the right people, people who are desperate in need, people who are living with difficult financial situations. Lord, be with them, we pray. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us. We thank you that we've been able to bring gifts. Lord, we pray for all those who are being affected by the present financial situation in our country. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for the lonely. We pray, Lord, for the unemployed. We pray for those who have been given a notice that there is coming an end to their life. Lord, we pray for all who have been told that they are dying of cancer. And Lord, as we pray for the coffee morning on Friday, we pray, Lord, for all who are battling with the disease. And we ask, Lord, for healing. We ask for comfort. We ask for support. And Lord, we know that there are people who are living in difficult situations. And how do they solve those situations? Lord, they need your wisdom. And Lord, as a church, as we seek to help people who may be in difficult situations, we ask that you would give us wisdom, that we might reach people with real and genuine needs. And Lord, we pray for our church. We pray for the church throughout the world. We thank you, Lord, that in so many places the church is on the increase. We pray for our own church here, Lord. The opportunities that you give us are wonderful. May we be loyal to you and to the way we serve you. Lord, what we do, may it not be what we think is right, but may it be according to your will. Our earnest prayer in our life as a church and as individuals is, Lord, may your will be done. So, Lord, be with us. Be with our own families and friends. And Lord, how much we pray this morning for Robert and Jilly. Lord, you know that situation. They have this horrible COVID disease. Lord, we pray that you would be their healer. We pray that they may recover quickly from this terrible infection. Lord, be their comfort. Be their constant companion. And Lord, be their miracle healer, we pray. And Lord, as we pray for our own family and friends, we pray for ourselves. Lord, you know what the next week holds for each one of us and for our loved ones. Lord, we pray that you would guide and protect us, and that you would equip us that we might be your faithful servants. This and all our prayers we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. We come together in the Lord's Prayer, the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Richard.
Well, we're going to continue with the harvesting. And the field comes scatter.
Scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the sow in winter, the warmth, the swell, the grain, the breezes and the sunshine and soft refreshing rain. Gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord for all his love. He only is the maker of all things near and far. He makes wayside flower, he lights the evening star. The wind that waves obey him, by him the birds are fed. Much more to us his children, he gives our daily bread. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above.
To Jean for our first reading.
The reading is taken from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them for ever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
So, we're going to continue praising the Lord for his creation and the harvest with all the beauty of the earth.
To bring us the reading from James.
The reading from James is chapter 2, verses 14 to the end, 26. Heading Faith and Deeds. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
Thank you, Richard. Sorry, I think he goes straight to the message. I'm sorry. Faith and works, or faith and deeds. James 2:14-26. We must surely know that faith is a key doctrine in the Christian life. How important is faith? Without it, well, it would be a very sorry situation. The sinner is saved by faith, and believers must work by faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And whatever we do apart from faith is sin. James here is talking about the relationship between faith and works, or faith and deeds. Number one, he talks about a dead faith, verses 14-17. What is a saving faith? Surely it's a faith that does not produce good works. Surely faith that does not produce good works is not a saving faith. Any faith that does not result in a changed life, James says, is dead. Beware then of a mere intellectual faith, for it cannot save us. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Number 2, verses 18 and 19, James talks about a demonic faith. James wanted to shock his readers, so he used demons as his illustration. In recent years, the church has rediscovered the reality and the activity of demons. Jesus, we know, cast out demons, and he gave that same power to his disciples. Demons believe in the existence of God. Oh yes, they also believe in the deity of Christ. And as verse 19 says, the deacons believe and shudder. They are touched in their emotions, but this is not a saving faith. This is a demonic faith. And then finally, verse number 3, dynamic faith. That's what we need, isn't it? Dynamic faith. Verses 20-26. This is a true faith, dynamic faith. It's a saving faith. It's a faith that is real, that has power. It's a faith that results in changed lives. You know, dynamic faith is based on God's word, and it involves the whole person. Thus, saving faith leads, obviously, to action. James speaks of two well-known persons, Abraham and Rahab. Very different people. Abraham was a Jew, Rahab was a Gentile. They were very different. Abraham was a godly man, but Rahab was a sinful woman. James uses both illustrations of dynamic saving. It's a dynamic saving faith. Since both of these people heard and received the message of God through his word, both Abraham and Rahab proved their faith by their works. So once they came to know Jesus as their Savior, they proved their faith by their works, by their deeds. They both served God and people. James 2 emphasizes that the mature Christian must practice the truth. They do not just hold on to doctrines, they practice those doctrines in their everyday life. You know, it is important that each professing Christian, each one of us, examine our own heart and life, and that we make sure that our lives possess true saving faith, dynamic faith. Corinthians 13, the first part of verse 5, says this: examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And here, my friends, are some questions that we can ask ourselves as we seek to examine our hearts. Number one. Was there a time when we honestly realized that we were sinners and admitted this to ourselves and to God? Number two, was there a time when our hearts stirred us to flee from the wrath that was to come? Have we ever been seriously exercised over our sin? Over, if you like, our separation from God. Number three, do we truly understand the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins and rose again? Do we understand that we cannot save ourselves? There are many people who think by being good they can save themselves. Did we sincerely repent, number four, of our sins and turn from them? Or do we secretly love sin and want to enjoy it? Or do we hate sin and fear God? Number five, have we trusted Christ and Christ alone as we sing for our salvation? Do we enjoy a living relationship with him through his word and in the Spirit? Number six, has there been a change in our lives? Do we maintain good works, or are our works occasional and weak? It's a challenge there, isn't it? Do we maintain good works, or are our works occasional and weak? It's a challenge there, isn't there, eh? Do we seek to grow in the things of the Lord? Can others tell that we have been with Jesus? Can they see Jesus in our lives? Number 7, do we have a desire to share Jesus with others, or are we ashamed of him? How important it is that we share the knowledge of Jesus, of all that Jesus means to us, of all that Jesus has done for us. Do we share that with other people? Number 8, do we enjoy the fellowship of God's people? Is worship a delight to us? You know, I'm sure that we love the fellowship that we have here together. Important. It is important because we can help each other. We can help each other grow. We can share each other's problems. We can share so much together in a happy Christian fellowship. And then, number 9, the last one. Are we ready for the Lord's return? Or will we be ashamed when he comes for us? Challenge, isn't it? I'm sure that we would all have to admit that our lives are not perfect. We say that we must be more and more like Jesus, and I believe that's true. But I also believe personally that it's when we come finally to Jesus, when we end our own discipleship, it is then, finally, that we will be fully like Jesus. But you know, we can't do it on our own. We can only do it with the help of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Not every Christian has the same personal experience. And I have to admit, there are degrees of sanctification. But that list that we've got will help us determine our true standing before our God. I want to finish by reading 2 verses from Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, there are challenges of life. We must not give up. Oh, we will fail at times. I know I do. But my friends, if we are truly Jesus's people, if we are believers in Jesus, if we seek to love him, to share his love with others, if we seek to love our neighbor, if we seek to work among people that are in need, oh my friends, we will daily grow more like Jesus. But if we ignore the challenges that are before us, then we could certainly fail. And you know, as we look through James, I have to say this, that I think one of the great challenges in James is that he doesn't want believers to fail. And so he challenges us to look at our lives, to examine our lives. Are we living in accordance to God's work and God's way for us? I pray that we are. Amen. Thank you, Richard.
Well, we're going to end with a wonderful rousing hymn from the era of the great hymn writers, "A Great Is Thy Faithfulness."
Father, there is no shadow. faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
A special request. He may not like it, but I want you during the week to pray for Bruce, not me, the other Bruce. He's got a busy week, hasn't he? He's got to get all these stuff to Riviera Life, and he's got that coffee morning. He's got to prepare for the organization of it and the execution of it. He also, of course, gets here early every Sunday and prepares. And after we've gone today, he'll be putting everything back to normal. So that's normal for him, but the other are all extra things. Pray for him that he will have the strength to do all that he's doing. And we praise God for the fact that he's doing it, because of his love for God. Let us stand together and say the grace. We don't know why Rita's not here, but pray for Rita. She's sick. That's it.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
Amen.
Do you know, I actually really